I keep my body moving and my mind occupied at all times, I will avoid falling into a bottomless pit of despair.
This is America, Jack.
And I will have my vengeance.
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
My message is simple.
The people need you.
This is the Brian Suits Show.
AM 770 KTTH, hour number two. Brian Suits here, and I don't even know if it's still raining out. I think it rained all it needed to such as your 3:30. But it was moving north, so that's why you had it. I already had my truck with that rain. But here's producer Greg with the Renton report before we move on to the Burien report.
The Renton report is when I got in the car this morning, my windshield was very wet and it rained a little bit on the way into work. That's it.
I mean, I had my windshield wipers at the max at warp speed.
Did you really?
Yeah. Such as coming around the dome. I got to say, at the dome, I was doing a pretty beefy 75,
and I'm like, you were just keeping up with the flow of traffic. That's what you were doing.
And folks, if you look, if you actually use your headlights, you'll see there's little dry ridges. Drive on those, okay? So there's that.
Here's what I realized this season is that my windshield wipers get ruined this time of year every year because of the pollen in the air. And the pollen gets stuck on the windshield wipers and it makes them not work so well. It just, the penny dropped for me. I finally understood why my windshield wipers are total crap now.
And I've started the nightly rinse of the windshield. So that's a thing.
Put a little rubbing alcohol in there and freshen them up.
Text me later on today. I want to hear about my, I think as a fan of the history of your rock and roll that the kids like, you'll like this. And I'll put a picture on Instagram. Brian at Brian Does Junk on Instagram. Pretty cool find in Centralia yesterday.
I'm listening.
Have you heard of the rock and roll? Have you heard of the Edgewater Hotel? The legendary
course, where the Beatles
rock
stayed.
And roll Edgewater Hotel,
sure.
Right? I got an ashtray from that era, a black resin, you know, cast plastic ashtray. It says the Edgewater, where the stars stay, or Home of the Stars, something like
no
that.
No kidding.
Oh, I'll bring it in tomorrow. And I don't even smoke. Yeah, it, really cool. And I mean, I saw that out of the corner of my eye, and I'm like, is it a Frisbee? And it's about that big.
That belongs in a museum.
And my parents, I grew up in a house with two smoking parents, and we had ashtrays. And I mean, that was normal, in old timey times. Like, where's my hippie?
While we're on the subject,
did you settle on what we're calling the hippie?
What about the hippies now?
The 1968 hippie. I'm saying flower or something like that, but
these hippie weirdos.
Okay, here she is.
I'd like to think that what the students feel about the university.
And I have no idea why the Democrats are focused on their guilt feeling about saying out loud what they should be saying, which is get your head back in the classroom and listen to the adults.
We may even hold it.
But it's okay. Apparently it's in the water at Columbia.
For a spring. But ultimately, we don't change the foundation of this university, which is essentially an enormous business corporation.
That was 1968.
Hey, this is library.
And it's a legendary hippie druggy place, too, as well. But anyway, Bill Maher has had it up to here with this stuff, as well as me. And if anything, it's because of the fraud, the hypocrisy that Bill Maher identified on Friday night.
They might take it a little easier on the world's greatest monster, Genocide Joe. Genocide, by the way, is when you want to wipe out an entire people. That's the stated goal of Hamas. That's what From the River to the Sea means.
And that's the part where they don't see the fraud in this. It's like me not seeing the irony of being a non-smoker who bought an ashtray. And you know what? It was like $20. It was nothing. And the possibility that Robert Plant put a joint in there made the money flow like tears and rain.
Your family heirloom for generations to come. Now
I need to make the backstory. The backstory will fill We'll fit that. That so Ringo throws to the ashtray that Ringo threw at John Lennon and said, "Can we drop Please Please Me from tonight's set at the arena on August 22nd, 1964?" And John said, "Ringo, you're out of the band again." And then in the very same Fish from Your Window suite, the Led Zeppelins show up in 1971. 72.
Sounds like revisionist history to me.
I think it's a great backstory. And because everything old is new again, the kids these days, not only do they like used clothes, have you heard, you know, they go thrifting. But you know, they're doing old throwback music. And so just wait till I tell some long-haired hippie that, yeah, Robert Plant, you know, when he wasn't subbing out his joints on prostitutes, he did it in this very ashtray, and that would cool it out. But anyway, back to hippies. This is because I saw more Gaza propaganda crap in Olympia, of course, and I mean that is the irony, especially like LGBTQ for Hamas. You would be hung by your heels and beaten with a cricket bat, okay, for being gay. For your purple hair, or for saying Gazah, and
Hamas,
and that's the part of it that the guy from the Financial Times this morning called them. He said that former professor Zbigniew Brzezinski would have called them bourgeois spoiled suburban brats. I mean, is that perfect? You're a bougie spoiled suburban brat.
Genocide, by the way, is when you want to wipe out an entire people.
So listen to this point right here. I think this is a really good one.
That's the stated goal of Hamas.
Point
one. That's what from the river to the sea means. Hamas would do that to Israel, but can't. Israel could do that to them, but doesn't.
I think those are two great points. It's in Hamas's constitution. So what they're saying about ceasefire and peace and all that is a lie. And they're propagating, they're being a part of the lie. They're giving oxygen to a really silly argument. And what the White House is now freaked out about is the Trump campaign is now receiving information that the White House doesn't want you to know. And that's why Israeli intelligence has given it to the Trump campaign. Because the White House has been given the information and they won't go public with it because it makes them look bad, and it's going to piss off young people and they're going to ruin Chicago because the information is the majority of the hostages died in captivity. And the only leverage that Hamas has is that there might be still some living hostages. That's why all of a sudden there's a swell of released videos last weekend, then yesterday, including two Americans, I think, yesterday. I didn't see them yet. But that's their only leverage. That's it. And the White House doesn't want to say what the Israelis are saying, which is they've killed most of them. We didn't. They did. They did it in snuff films. They're so stupid. They're putting them on Reddit and Telegram and Signal. And so it's been seen, and that would make them seem like the bad guys. And then what would you do with your tolerance of hippies and the whole thing? So not only are you supporting a fraud, but it makes you a fraud. It makes you part of the hypocrisy. So there's that. Well, they're ODing in Burien. Where do we get, hey, this is Library Guy? I wonder where, you know, if Channel 5 didn't chase him down the day he said, hey, this is Library. And they let people just walk by with cheesecake without telling where they get the cheesecake. So I expect no less.
This is Library.
No murals for them, I'll tell you that. But anyway, Channel 7 doing actual journalism on this one. Another dead guy in Burien, another OD, and the mayor pointing out, well, okay, the autopsy hasn't been done yet, but what the hell else could it be?
Tonight, a second man may have died of a drug overdose in the very same part of downtown Burien over the course of just 7 days. Now, the mayor of that city is blaming the King County Sheriff for not acting to remove this encampment.
And it's the stupidest reason that the head of a law enforcement agency can have. And I mean, and to me, Right now, this is this year's Exhibit A of why you elect sheriffs, why the Washington State Constitution enables and empowers you, the citizenry, to elect your sheriff, the highest ranking official in your county, believe it or not. That's what the Constitution says.
The second possible overdose death happened at about 4:30 yesterday after.
This was Saturday.
Afternoon. Good evening. Thank you for joining us this Sunday. I'm Gary Horker. The mayor insists it
it's Monday, Gary.
Was definitely a drug overdose, saying, quote, what else could it be? Now, we are still awaiting confirmation on this from the King County Medical Examiner, but this is now.
Okay. Look, here's your mountain of evidence. Dead vagrant in a tent, foil with fentanyl, a lighter in hand. I don't know, Sherlock. So should we dust for prints?
Coming political. It's causing a furor in Burien between the mayor and the King County Sheriff. So Kyra 7's Deborah Horn is live for us in Burien covering this controversy. And Deborah, the mayor is blaming these ODs right on the sheriff, right?
And the sheriff is blaming the city of Burien.
Of course, because Burien passed an ordinance. You can't be a homeless vagrant doing drugs in a tent, or some version of that. And because let's go to our Latin, ex post facto.
All of it is over a recently passed camping ban that the King County Sheriff says may be unconstitutional. So,
well, you know what? Are you a Supreme Court justice? Let's go ahead and let the system work that out. The inevitable lawsuit from some local NGO that hands out tents and lighters, and we'll sue Burien, and Burien will appeal. Then it'll bounce maybe to the state Supreme Court, maybe all the way to the Ninth Circuit Court or whatever. But there's a process for that. In the meantime, it's a city ordinance in your county, and traditionally, you enforce it.
Meanwhile, this latest death here may be the second fatal overdose in just 1 week in this area, and a lot of people are grieving. Feelings are still raw here after a man died in a tent Saturday afternoon of a possible drug overdose.
When nature's lifeless body was just on the floor, I seen all the city council members just pulling their phones out and taking pictures as if he didn't matter to anybody.
She says they share.
This was someone named Eddie Andrade, and Andrade went by the name Nature.
His desperate circumstances.
He had no hope that there was ever going to be housing because of this fight.
That fight is between the city of Burien and the King County Sheriff. Mayor Kevin Schilling accusing the sheriff of being unwilling to talk about her decision to seek guidance from the court rather than enforce the city's recent camping ban. So Schilling held a news conference last week to ask for a meeting to resolve their impasse.
We're in an untenable situation, and so we are requesting the sheriff to just start enforcing the ordinance that they've been enforcing for months before this public fight has started. And then come to.
So anyway, bold prediction here. If you allow vagrants and tents to do drugs, you're going to predictably get more overdoses. And it's tragic and horrible. Then the story does the pro forma Seattle thing where they track down the family and the family denounces the city council for coming there and taking pictures. And all that, but right. So that's like fentanyl for housing is like camping for Gaza or something. I mean, if you think the world owes you a free house, you could either maybe go to work and apply for a mortgage, or get in a tent and smoke, or get in a public library and smoke fentanyl. But that was the thing. That was a stealth number one story for know-it-all, Greg.
I want it all, and I want it
now. So we got to start with number two.
Know-it-all. First thing.
See, now I've already got a solid number two on this one.
Second thing.
So Burien OD, probably an OD. What else could it be? Second thing. And by the way, Christy Noem dog execution. Commentary coming in. It wasn't murder and all that. You need a better trainer. It's somewhere between frolicking dog and all that. Anyway, we'll get to that.
Don't make us release our canine.
Yeah. But you know what? Yeah, I could sure, if I lived in Monroe, I'd want to be hearing that today.
The correctional facility where this man, Patrick Lester Clay, escaped on Friday morning. Police say the 59-year-old somehow broke into a staff office, stole an employee's car keys, and drove away in a white four-door GMC Sierra truck.
So there you go. There's pictures of him. You can find it. And Stillman County's looking for the guy. He escaped from the correctional facility and someone else's pickup. And if there is... If God has a sense of humor, he will head south and the last escaped zebra and he will meet and he will be
eaten by the zebra.
He will be mayor of Duval by noon today. If he figures out how to ride a zebra. But there's one still that, unaccounted for, and I predict it would go downhill from North Bend down to Carnation. Lovely water and the whole thing. And that's where he's going to meet the guy that escaped from the Monroe Correctional Facility. And his name again, like you're not going to call him by his name, but
broke into a staff office, stole an employee's car keys, and reality where this man, Patrick Lester Clay, escaped.
He's in for burglary and mayhem. He's not in there for anything violent.
Escaped on Friday morning. Police say the 59-year-old somehow broke into a staff office, stole an employee's car keys, and drove away in a white four-door GMC Sierra truck.
So our suspect has a 1994 GMC Sierra, which can go up to 50 miles an hour. It's been 3 days, so he has a radius of I'm trying to do my
future. In-house, barn-house, out-house.
Yeah, there you go. Area. And you know what's so funny? I used to live a mile away, and there was no Shawshank alarm when someone, like, I was there when the one inmate killed that female guard and got out. So there was a murder, diddly murderer, you know, out in Somers County, at the Somers County line. And there was no siren, there's no flare or anything like that. But you'd be a fool to break into, and you're wet and you're cold now Monday morning. You'd be foolish, near suicidal, to break into any house with the lights on. Because I can tell you something about that neighborhood. I lived there, and I felt really secure.
What I want out of each and every one of you is a hard target search of every gas station, residence, warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, or doghouse in that area.
And it was funny because we lived in L.A. County. We lived very close to a county jail, not a state prison, but a county jail. And when they had... a guy, like an honoree guy in a golden jumpsuit. They called them golden retrievers because they just, you know, do this. When one of those guys walked away, and sometimes they were firefighter crews, right? If they didn't all count off with the same number on the way into the bus, then out of the bus, we got text messages and stuff. And like, I don't want to be pointing to LA and saying, boy, they did that right. But it was also a lot more common. But anyway, so this guy is in prison garb, and so priority, probably number one, change of clothes, get dry, get food, get a new car, by the way. So
we'll see about one-armed men in the area.
Yeah.
You right to jail.
And do we have thing three at this point?
Third thing.
Do we have any Christy... Or what's her name, Moen, audio? Besides her tweeting out the story, because she has a book coming out, and she's angling to be vice president. She's a really good bet to be vice president. She's a popular governor of South Dakota. She doesn't skip arm day. And now she's told the story, and she's very simple. And here's the thing about old-timey folks and country folks. look, I've gone through a lot of dogs. Never had to kill one. If a dog, the way she describes the dog was untrainable, which is a misnomer. No. If you're out hunting pheasant and the dog thinks it's a game, it will flush all the pheasant because it's fun. That's the whole point of using a dog for pheasant. It's fun when you let them go. But they don't just run around the field and blah, and all that. There's a point to it. You let the dog find out what that point is. It's on you. And then to go and whack the dog. And it feels like and also, by the way, the dog was preying on her own chickens. and eating them, killing them, snapping their necks. And that's the part where I feel like I can chime in, because I've never had one of our dogs kill a chicken. Never, ever, ever. We had a neighbor dog that did a spree kill once and killed 20 chickens in 5 minutes just for the sake of doing it. And I showed the neighbor and I said, let's talk about our rights. You have the right to get that dog trained, because if that happens again, I have a right and it's not going to be nice. But anyway,
I just feel like Christy Noem missed a few steps between verbally reprimanding the pup and old yellering it.
Yeah. And the other thing is, if you're considering getting backyard chickens, treat them like pets. Let the dog see you pick them up. And yes, they will let you pick them up, hand feed them, and let them make sure. And also you give the dog, make it barky time for them too, because they will figure out very soon that chickens taste like chicken, because you should give them treats and give them raw chicken. Don't cook it. And believe it or not, that's not contradictory. Our dogs have delicious, yummy chicken from the store, from the Costco all the time, not from the yard. They think those are pets, and they wouldn't kill a baby deer as long as we had a leash around it or a collar on it or something. So anyway, I've got some problems on that one. Fourth thing from 1968.
I'd like to think that what the
take it away, 1968, Columbia University hippie. Now, remember what last week, what John Wayne accused him of? the unspeakable act. I'm picturing this young lady with her 1968 dress and hair.
Students feel about the university is important enough that maybe we could bring this university to a halt and really reorder its priorities. But at the moment, it doesn't seem that this is possible.
Get to the bottom line, hippie. Say the words.
University, which is essentially an enormous business corporation.
Ermagerd. Okay, now thing. What's that? Thing five now?
Sure.
Fifth thing.
John, you had me at John Crook. I don't even know what he's talking about.
John Crook's the best.
Here we go.
Did I ever tell you about playing the prison team and when I was playing winter ball?
In Mexico?
We had exhibition game every year against a prison team at the prison.
Yeah.
They let me lead off. So I go up there to bat. The catcher don't have any catcher's gear on. And I said, you don't have no gear? He goes, no. No mask, no nothing. I'm like, well, I'm not going to hit with this dude. Ain't got no catcher's gear on. Right? So we get an extra pair of our catcher had an extra set of gear, so I let him use it. The kid threw hard, this pitcher. So I asked the catcher, I said, what did he do? He said, oh, he found his girlfriend cheating. He burned up her car with her and her boyfriend. Oh, in very uncomfortable at bat.
I would think so. There's probably a lot of things that were running through your head.
Yeah, like, get me the heck out of here.
Anyway, 0-2. That's a great baseball story. I need, in life, I need a story that I can end with, and he beat me like Nolan Ryan catching me coming out of his daughter's bedroom.
Anyway, 0-2.
Nolan Ryan didn't have a daughter. All right, when we come back, would you ever be influenced by anything Mitch McConnell, as a Republican, said? A rundown of what happened over the weekend yesterday on Sunday in the chat shows, which nobody but me watches. I don't watch them live. I just watch them after the fact. That and a whole bunch more stuff and some local news when we come back in, and an update on the Monroe escapee from the correctional facility after the AM 770 KTTH. AM 770 KTTH, Brian Sears here. Well, those hippie weirdos, World Central Kitchen, will resume operations in Gaza very soon. Only this time, They will have actually consulted with people who know stuff and junk, and their vehicles will be marked. They will not look like the Taliban are here with some lentils, and they will have infrared strobes and other IFF items like identification, friend or foe, items like that. And this time they won't lie about coordinating with the Israelis. They'll actually have to do it. Israeli military officials have said the attack was a, quote, grave mistake, without laughing, close quote, in a Shakespearean reference, and cited a series of failures, including a breakdown in communication and violations of the military's operating procedures. There really wasn't. It's like you want to go play World Central Good Guy, and you employ people because they said on their resume that this one they were in the British Special Operations or whatever. Okay, well, all I want to know is, have you ever been a convoy commander in a war zone with blue-on-blue threat orbiting above you? Because rule one, don't look like the terrorists. Don't stop and, like, bury something by the side of the road or whatever. Anyway, they're still calling for an independent international investigation. Well, you better hope I'm not on the April 1 attack, that it had received no concrete assurances. But they're going back to Gaza on that stuff. And so the correspondence dinner, is that the most puffed up thing, self-important media thing ever?
It's had ups and downs over the years. Sometimes there's great comedians like Norm MacDonald who really kind of stick it to the commander in chief. And other times it's just sort of leg humping ceremony.
Yeah. You know, and I got to say, the guy, the most self-deprecating guy, George Bush, because for 8 years, it was currency to make fun of Bush to his face, whether you were John Stewart or whatever. You could not get any, because the corner that comedy painted itself into was, if you're there and you don't make fun of the guy, then you're blackballed, like Dennis, what's his name?
Which Dennis?
Conservative comic Dennis
Miller?
Miller. And if you are there, you'd better mock him to his face, cocaine jokes or whatever. When it's a Democrat, when it's Obama, no, you stroke him gently and you give him a nice tongue bath and the whole thing. Well, if you want to make the cocaine jokes, go ahead and stuff. And so, but I mean, and RFK was at the dinner. The guy that the boogeyman for the Democrats was at the dinner, and the word was out, make all the RFK jokes you want, you know, leave the cocaine jokes for something. Anyway, it was Colin Jost, the Weekend Update guy from Saturday Night Live, which allegedly is still on the air, and people, even people not connected to the production staff, do watch it.
By the way, President Biden, isn't it crazy that he's only our second Catholic president? And what's even crazier is that in just a few short months, we'll have our third in RFK Jr.
And by the way, uncomfortable laughter. Because, I mean, you can, that's the media. If you don't know what the White House Correspondents' Dinner is, all the people that are giving Biden a tongue bath or his spokesperson, Karine Jean-Pierre, they're at the dinner. It's a black tie affair. And they get to bring a friend or whoever their plus one is or whatever. And the unspoken rule is you don't go at the president real hard. This is the president that just said his uncle was eaten by cannibals a week ago. I mean, tell me that is not a hanging curveball.
K. Jr. I'm kidding. Like his vaccine card says, he doesn't have a shot.
Thank you. Good night. Well, so where's, oh, here we go. Okay. This is as close as it got in all the highlights I saw. This is the only one that the RNC research could put forward.
It's also wonderful to be back in Washington. I love being in Washington. The last time I was in DC, I left my cocaine at the White House. Luckily, the president was able to put it to good use for a State of the Union. I'm kidding, of course. The president doesn't call it cocaine. He calls it high-speed rail.
See, come on. That's funny. It's and also, I would be laughing like Bart Simpson, because it's double funny, because that cocaine was hunters. There's that. And everyone knows that, and no one's saying a thing. Well, I didn't hear this on Friday. I didn't tune into the interview, but you know, if you're, and I mean, Howard Stern is reinvented himself as whatever. But he got, because someone said, oh, sit down with Howard Stern. He's young and hip. And Biden always, if he wants to get heavy and emotional, who does he bring up? And remember the one son who died in Iraq, which is what he told Zelensky in the first and the all time greatest edition of, you know, these things are on. Biden tells Zelensky, and he gives him a coin. Yeah, my son gave me this and he died in Iraq. On mic, he said the mics were on. It's rolling. Okay. So anyway, but Biden will always bring up the memory of Bo, and I have no idea what it's like to lose a son, nor will I. So that's my disclaimer on that one. But nevertheless, the guy has a problem with the truth, and he's our president.
His time was up, and he one night we're having a dinner at our home before he was incapacitated, hospitalized. And he said, Dad, can we talk? And I said, sure. And he said, look at me, Dad. Promise me, Dad. Promise me, Dad, that you'll not leave public life. I know when I go, you'll want to quit. You'll want to quit. And he looked at me and said, Dad, give me your word as a Biden. Give me your word.
Wow.
Look at me. I give my word on the health of my family. And he said, promise me, Dad, you won't step back. And I made the promise. And before he passed away,
Joe got blubby here. So as you're supposed to, if you have the president in, you need the smoke, you need to have him get blubby.
The last thing he said before he passed away, I mean, literally we were in the hospital, but Hunt and I with him, lying in bed with him. He looked at me and said, I'm not scared, Dad, it's okay. Wow. Not scared. It's okay. He was gone within. Anyway.
Wow.
Yeah, what a sad thing that I missed that interview. I don't buy a word of it. That's where I am with Joe Biden. I don't buy a word of that. He says that on your show. Call him on it. 48 hours earlier, he said, cannibals ate his uncle. I mean, you're Howard Stern. Howard Stern, the old Howard Stern would have said that. Is that when the cannibals came and took him away? And that word is a Biden thing. That is so corny. Bo did not say, give me your word as a Biden. But there's that. So I'm done teasing this. When we come back, we'll play it. I'll give you my word as McConnell.
And then he weighed in on his level of influence within his own party. Take a look.
So you stand by your description of Trump as practically and morally responsible for provoking the events of January 6th and potentially criminally responsible and liable.
I don't know how many times you're going to ask me the same question.
There you go. And he gets tougher than that. From cocaine joke to cocaine Mitch. We'll come back with Mitch getting tough with Margaret Brennan from CBS yesterday, saying in part, you need to get better researchers, which I love. That's a great answer. Back in the second, AM 770 KTTH. They make it sound like a herd of zebras or something. And that's, I don't know, maybe it's the way that they videoed them or something. But anyway, AM 770 KTTH. So the guy driving the trailer had stopped to make adjustments, and then I don't know if they overpowered him or...
Zebras on the loose in North Bend. Neighbors and law enforcement came together this afternoon to wrangle three of these animals that were free.
And when they're young, they're called foals. Okay, but doesn't that make it sound like North Bend under... under lock the door and get under something safe orders or something? It was four. Four. I mean, I would go out with an apple and say, who's a good zebra? And that whole thing. And it's a fruitless search for youthful bits from Madagascar, the Chris Rock zebra. Because, first of all, they... I can't find any of the good ones.
The same!
Exactly the same. Yeah.
Rico, get the cannon ready! Save John!
Solo, good movies. Three pretty solid, funny movies. The three Madagascars. And then the standalone Penguin movie is exceptional.
Fire in the hole!
There you go. So there were four. They can't account for one, and I can't find a heads up on whether it's still on the loose, zebra on the loose, or what. But never mind that now. So Mitch McConnell, who thinks you need better research and wants to know how many times you're going to ask me that question, was on Face the Nation yesterday. And what's going on behind the scenes with your Sunday morning chinwag shows is a poll came out. Uh-oh. And in the poll, you yokel slackjaws think that the economy was better under Trump. And this is the windmill that they're jousting is your memory of the past, right? They think that all of you are hitting yourself in the head with a Bible or a gun or something, and that you're not accounting for reality or something. But I mean, you just hold up the price of gas in 2020 and then the price of gas 4 years later, and they have conniptions. And is it bugbear? Is it their particular bug? Anyway, it's a windmill that they're jousting, and here they are discussing that.
Is the reason that they say that. But what's also interesting is
because 49% of CBS's respondents said the economy was better under Trump. You pick up your jaw from the mud there, you stupid MAGA Republican.
Ask them, okay, look back to the economy during the Trump years. Mm-hmm. How do you remember it? And the majority say they remember it as being good.
Because they forget about the pandemic.
Well, they seem to be skipping over the pandemic.
What? You mean the guy that paid all the money to get the vaccine? And they make it seem like Biden kicked Trump out of the White House just in time while the last COVID was almost in Maine. Or something, but you yokels forgot the pandemic?
Remember it as being good.
Because they forget about the pandemic.
Well, they seem to be skipping over the pandemic, and that's exactly what that tells you in their memory of this. But it also explains now when you ask them, okay, now let's look forward. They say, more say, they feel they'd be financially better off under Donald Trump, and that cuts directly to vote, and that.
So cue the freak out, and that's what's going on. And I mean, if you bring up something like the gas prices, they freak out and go but and the whole thing. I'd say, look, you know what? If a potted plant that wasn't at war with the fossil fuel industry is elected and takes the Oval Office, takes the oath on January 20th. 2025, the price of gas will plummet by a dollar. If you take office and say you're done, you're done, corn pop or whatever, this is the entirely predictable thing that happens. And now at a time that you're supposed to all be delighting and throwing rose petals as you go on to the EV lot and buy your new Washington State finance car, but you're not. So now they're having to throw out. Jay is out there touting $9,000. Like he invented this bonus. The issue is not the price. There's plenty of used ones that are. I know someone who's a waitress that got a Model 3. And she likes it, except for the part where you have to charge it all the time. And if you forget to, it's not, it can't get 10 miles. So owners are filling up used car lots and having people take over their leases, and all the money in the world cannot make that car. We're at the point here in a second. I'll read you. Elon had to go hat in hand begging back to China, and he has to give up his self-driving code because China always wants a price to sell the non-Chinese thing in their market. That's how bad it is here in America. He's lowering the price of his cars. They don't once they ship them out of Detroit, Chevy doesn't want it back. And go to a Chevy lot and say, where are the Volts? And that would be that 10 acres over there. But that's okay.
Manufacturers.
It's difficult to find a drawback except the purchase price.
That's why the state's now offering
Yeah, that's, by the way, that's marketing genius Jay Inslee. Yeah, that's what many of you slack-jawed yokels call sticker shock.
Manufacturers.
It's difficult to find a drawback except the purchase price.
That's why the state's now offering rebates to people who earn up to three times the federal poverty level. About $45,000 a year for a single person, $93,000 for a family of four to qualify.
It's not moving the needle. It will not move the needle. Good. And needle stayers?
Manufacturers.
It's difficult to find a drawback except the purchase price.
That's why the state's now offering rebates to people.
And this is, it's a really weird flex on this. That they're trying to lower the price so that more minorities adopt sustainable automobiles. And I mean, I'm sorry, but, you know, as they say, in a state with sales taxes, but no income tax like ours, it's a regressive tax, meaning that the bite to the wallet that a middle income or lower income person has when they fill their car up is way bigger than when a famous radio personality has to gas up their Prius or whatever. That's the price of not having a state income tax. And this is getting in an EV is going to be more, you know what it's going to do? It's going to transfer wealth from your pocket to the state general fund to the lower income person. And then in a year, when they try to resell the car, they will not get anything near like what you promised they would get. Because now, this time next year, there's going to be a flood of used EVs.
Rebates. How easy is it for people to access this?
About the easiest $9,000 you've ever had.
That's because the...
There, he said it, $9,000. So, and he thinks this is a great plan. This is actually going to move. Maybe if your down payment is defrayed by $9,000, maybe. But your first month's payment is 30 days away. And then, oh, by the way, you better find a regular place to top. Where do you work? Do they have EV plugs? Do you work at Whole Foods? What, are you a bag boy? What do you do?
Dealer does all the paperwork, taking $9,000 right off the price of a lease. That's 3 years or more. The rebates, $5,000 to buy an EV or lease one for 2 years, and $2,500 for a used EV.
This is the first in the nation where we're leaning in on a low-cost leasing option.
While the state works to nudge the market a bit, consumers...
Oh, a bit, Denise. Anyway, you know what that is, Greg? Commie gobbledygook.
That's exactly what that
here,
is.
With the bottom falling out of a market, the party, the standing committee, the central committee is saying everyone buy an electric car. Good luck filling it up. Because the people who bought electric cars honestly, without government thumbs on scales, are getting rid of them for less than $9,000. And if you think you're going to get a, it's going to hold a dime of resale value, you're high. Anyway, Tesla has agreed to partner with Chinese search. The Chinese Google is called Baidu. Because all they need is access to China's roadmaps, and China doesn't want to give it to them. So everything is transactional. The Chinese said, give us your auto driving code. So it'll go into Chinese state-owned EV companies. So This is one of the dumbest moves I've ever seen Elon Musk do, but that's how desperate he is to sell these damn cars, because China's their second biggest market, and they're not going to get back in the market unless you give, unless you wet President Xi's beak on that. But anyway, back in a second with our third hour, the storied 8 o'clock hour, coming up in mere moments, AM 770 KTTH.
No offense, but it sounds like some commie gobbledygook.